It is my pleasure, friends, to take our microphones to a friend of the Irish for so long, as we hook up with our Congressman Tom Suozzi. How are you, Tom?
Adrian, how are you, my friend?
I'm very, very good. You know, we were looking, Anya Sheridan here, looking through our archives, and, you know, we found not only some tapings, but also a great number of photographs of you with the Irish, community, with us. If we go back a little bit, you know, you served as mayor of your hometown, Glen Cove.
Yeah, I was there for 8 years.
Oh, my God, yeah. That brings back to 94. And then, of course, you as Nassau County executive from there for another 7 years.
Eight years.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And I ran for governor, Adrian. I got my butt kicked in a Democratic primary against Elliot Spitzer.
Oh.
Didn't turn out very well for me.
It didn't
turn out too well for Spitzer either, did it?
No. That must have made...
Then I lost my re-election race for county executive to a guy named Ed Mangano, but he got indicted for bribery and corruption.
I'll tell you. Okay.
The rule is that anybody ever beats me in a race, their life is ruined after that.
Tom, you know, we have been speaking of, and indeed the Irish community have been bemoaning the fact that during the Ireland's crisis, and particularly Northern Ireland, you know, where they fit in or will they fit in with Brexit, considering that, you know, Boris Johnson reminds us of a particular politician that we have over here, which shall remain nameless. But we were saying, and we were thinking, wait a minute, where is the replacement? Where is the Senator George Mitchell, who will actually, you know, take this topic of where Northern Ireland, you know, will not only fit in, but actually do something and not wait, you know, for the horse to leave the barn before addressing Brexit. And sure enough, it was no surprise to us that you, you know, Congressman Tom Suozzi, as a Democrat, should link up with another great supporter of Ireland, of Northern Ireland, Congressman Peter King, to actually do something, to get a resolution in there, not wait to see how Brexit is going to work out. You took that, you crafted that bill, that resolution. What were you getting, you know, some heat from your own constituents? Because, you know, to say, look, you've always been there for us. King has always been there for us. So what are you doing? Tell us how that came about.
Let me tell you, first of all, the Irish have so many good friends in the Congress. There's so many wonderful people. Richie Neal, who's the chairman of Ways and Means, great supporter. Elliot Engel, the head of Foreign Affairs, great supporter. A guy named Bill Keating from Massachusetts on the Foreign Affairs Subcommittee for Europe, a great friend. And, of course, you know, Peter King. Yeah. I actually spoke to Peter King. I said, I'm going on Adrian Flannery's show today. Will you come on with me? He says, oh, I've known him for 40 years. He thinks I'm as crazy as I think he is.
Oh. Hey, there you go. That's a left-handed compliment.
But he sends you his very best.
Thank you. Thank you, John and Peter. Let's take, you know, the lunacy, the confusion, the hype that is and has become, you know, almost a joke with Brexit, except it's not a joke.
Let me say, it's very serious business. I was approached by a bunch of my friends here locally. I don't know if you know Marty Glennon.
Oh, Marty, of course.
Wonderful guy. Dermot Kelly, Yeah. I've got a bunch of great friends in the Irish community, obviously. I'm Irish.
Don't give any of them my phone number. Jesus, bad enough that they swamp, you know, emails and text messages and everything, but you got a very active group there, including, of course, Marty and, you know, and Kelly, all of them.
It's a great group. So they came, they said, listen, we got to do something. I said, well, I'm not really the leader on this. They said, well, you got to become the leader. So I crafted a resolution. I got Peter King to support me. And then I went to a bunch of members of Congress, the Friends of Ireland group, and some others. And I got 44 members to co-sponsor it, Democrats and Republicans, which is what we need to be doing in this current environment that's so, so terrible. And it went to the Foreign Affairs Committee. They used my resolution. It passed unanimously, Democrats and Republicans, through Foreign Affairs. And I'm going to get it passed through the whole House in the next week or so, hopefully. And what it does is it says, listen, UK, you've got to understand that we need you to adhere to the principles of the Good Friday Agreement, especially, you know, peace, reconciliation, self-determination. You can't have a hard border between the Republic and Northern Ireland. That would be terrible if you went back to a hard border. You have to have full implementation. You've got to keep the dialogue going. And you've got to make sure that if you don't adhere to the Good Friday Agreement, the United States is not going to support a trade agreement with the United Kingdom if you don't keep the Good Friday Agreements respected.
Yeah.
And so I heard a lot of private meetings where people were saying that, said, hey, listen, you're going to have a hard time with us for the trade agreement in the future if you don't respect the Good Friday agreements. I said, we need to be saying that publicly. And Nancy Pelosi said that publicly when she visited Ireland a few months ago. And we needed to make it very clear that our old and good friends in Ireland are not respected. And if the peace process is not respected, you're going to have a hard time with us going forward. So,
yeah,
it's an important relationship. We have, of course, the United Kingdom is a very important relationship also.
Sure.
But this is one thing that our friends have to understand, is that this is very important to us.
You know, to get also the rapid endorsement of former Senator George Mitchell, you know, who, you know, as a special envoy to Northern Ireland, he's served, you know, 6 years plus there. But he is, you know, praised the resolution, and he says, I commend Congressman Swazi and King for the leadership on the House Resolution 585, basically cementing, which is what we need to do now, that the EU and the UK government, you know, have since they have publicly and traditionally repeatedly promised that there won't be a return to the hard border, that agreement should be spotlighted, which it's not. There's so much other distractions, and now with a pending election, and you know, in Britain, it not only is it timely, but I think that it is so necessary while, you know, all the infighting goes on and how Brexit is going to be handled and is there going to be a deal or a no deal, that, you know, Britain knows, hey, you're not going to do that. You're not, if you do not adhere to the letter of the Good Friday Belfast Agreement, then, you know, then we're not going to do business with you, and you're going to wind up with a lousy trade deal between America and the UK. And that's something, you know, that may be getting, you know, a shove to one side, and I'm sure there are many over there who say, are you...
Well, there's a lot of different priorities that people have, you know. The Boris Johnson's got some priorities, and the folks that are on his side and against them have priorities. You've got the politics of Northern Ireland, you got the parties up there about their politics, you've got the parties in the Republic that have their politics, and, you know, how this is going to affect us in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the people here in the U.S. saying, listen, we know you've all got these different issues you're dealing with. You've all got your different internal politics and your external politics you're dealing with. But whatever you do, We know from the troubles and we know from what it took to get the Good Friday Agreement done that we've got to make sure that with all these swirling pieces going on, you have to respect the Good Friday Agreement. And you have to make sure that you stick with all the things that we said were important at that time that were so hard to get to in the first place that they can't be damaged by this other swirling tsunami going on. So I think that we're getting that message across. I've been in a lot of private meetings where people said that in private. Now we're saying it in public.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, I want to talk a little bit about your own political background. You know, you've been compared, you know, and I don't know whether it's complimentary or not, but you are, you know, known as an old-fashioned Democrat. You know, the one that...
Yeah. I'm a new kind of old-fashioned Democrat.
All right. And that's got nothing to do with your age or anything, but it has to do, you know, with... the democratic principles, you know, and you're compared at times to, you know, Kennedy, President Kennedy, and by the way, yesterday was, you know, the 59th anniversary of the election of President John F. Kennedy. But you know, issues that don't get much. Well, they're definitely not the centerpiece with all the crap that's going on, you know, in Washington at the moment. But, you know, compassion for the less fortunate, you know, the challenges of today.
I use one of Kennedy's commercials in one of my inaugural addresses in one of my commercials, where he said, "Here on Earth, God's work must truly be our own." And that's, you know, I believe that. I believe that's what we should be doing in politics, is we should be trying to fulfill out our mission of caring for all the people and love thy neighbor. And that's a big part of what politics is supposed to be about.
Well, it is. And that's what it's supposed to be about. And you are and have been such a tremendous supporter of the plight of immigrants, particularly those, you know, who are caught up here, who have their families here, who have, you know, the reality of perhaps telling their kids, you know, when they're in their late teens that, by the way, you might have a bit of a problem because we are not documented, you know.
My great-grandfather came over on my Irish side, but my father came over on my Italian side. So I've got a real, real soft spot for immigrants. And we have got to figure out how to start just treating people like human beings. I'm all for protecting in the border and making sure we do a better job on the border. And, you know, not everybody can just come in, whoever wants to come in, whatever they want to come in. But let's treat people like human beings. America is based upon the idea that all men and women are created equal. It's not that all men and women with a green card are created equal, or all men and women with a certain language or a certain skill or a certain country are created equal. It's that all men and women are created equal and they have a divine spark. And we've got to, whatever we do to resolve these complicated issues, we've got to treat people like human beings. You know, every problem we face in the country, not just immigration, but every problem we face is complicated. Mm. And to solve complicated problems, you need people of goodwill to actually sit down with each other and have conversations about where they can find common ground. And unfortunately, in this current environment, there's so much anger and so much fear that you can't have people sit down and have conversations because they just write each other off before the conversation starts. Oh, you're one of those. You're with them. You're with her.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Tom, also I know that you not only share... but you use, you know, your tremendous dedication to, you know, the welfare of all people, and have done so even, you know, as mayor and Nassau County executive. Just to say, by the way, if you talk about immigrant rights, sometimes that's perceived as saying you're You're for an open border.
No.
You know, you want to. I mean, but that is unfortunately what has, a lot of society and the way that the news and media presents this, it's, you know, for those who only marginally follow news, it can be perceived that if you say, okay, we need, you know, to follow in, the whole notion of a welcome to, you know, to America, as epitomized by, you know, the Statue of Liberty here. But that does not mean that, in fact, you are, you know, instead of the silly wall that we, that we talk about, nobody's asking to knock down the bloody wall to begin with, but it is perceived,
Let me tell you, we've got a big problem in our country. Very few people are following the news. A lot of it's very biased. It's not like the old days. It's not journalism. It's more entertainment on the cable shows. Fox is not following journalistic ethics, and MSNBC is not following journalistic ethics. Some people, they're just pushing their agendas. And very few people are actually tuning into the news these days or reading the newspapers anymore. That's why your show is so great, that people are willing to actually listen to some reasoned talk. I want you to know that I wrote an op-ed piece to the New York Times that was co-authored by Peter King again.
Yeah.
And Peter King's been pretty tough on immigration over the years.
That's for sure.
But he and I found common ground that we could work together to both secure the border and give a path to citizenship to the Dreamers, a path to citizenship for the people that came here, what's called under temporary protective status, and give a path to some legal permanent residence. If you've been here for years and you've been keeping your nose clean since you've been here. But we've got to stop, you know, pushing these people underground. Too many people are living with this fear and anxiety every single day. These families are... It's inhuman.
Yeah.
And so Peter and I, who have come from different viewpoints on this stuff, he's a tougher Homeland Security guy. That's his reputation.
Yeah.
I'm more of the, you know, pro-immigrant guy. We found common ground. We wrote out an op-ed piece together. They put the headline on it, not us, the Grand Compromise.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when we released it, it was the day the Mueller's report came out, so we got very little press on it.
Yeah.
But I commend that to you to look for that, Adrian.
Yeah.
The Grand Compromise by Tom Suozzi and Peter King. And it's more, it's saying, listen, let's protect some of these people and give them, take some of this anxiety off their back. Let's let them be productive citizens in our country the way they have been, but have them pay their taxes. You know, we need more people paying their Social Security taxes.
Yeah.
We need more people contributing to the Social Security Fund.
And
we
how
need
about,
more people.
Yeah.
I know this kid. He graduated with my daughter from school. He came here from El Salvador. He graduated near the top of his class. He went to Stony Brook University. He got a degree in biomedical engineering. He got a master's degree in biomedical engineering. And now he's getting a PhD in biomedical engineering. But he can't travel to the conferences with the other kids because he's afraid of leaving the country. And they're telling him that they're going to deport him next year because he came on temporary protective status when he was 5 years old. Now, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. And that's one example. Can you imagine? Multiply that
by millions.
And a lot of people just have to, you know, accept it. I know that for those, you know, through the years, who've had issues, and that they want, you know, to get support on or to get analyzed, even if they're not all that possible, somehow find their way to Tom Suozzi, Democrat, and to Peter King. You can't resolve all the problems. However, as I say, just the fact that bipartisan sit-downs, bipartisan resolutions like you and Peter King have just got to get, that is a starting point.
And we can't solve it all, but let us begin.
Yeah, that's true. And I think all of us are guilty of, and well, I would hope so because I know I am, of, you know, turning on whatever it is, MSNBC, CNN, I have little tolerance for Fox, but I'd put it on there anyway to straighten myself out and shut the television off. You know, but all of that stuff is great. And the add-ons each day to how terrible, how awful, how ridiculous, how crooked, how everything is, that's not doing much. No. You know, it's great. It's great entertainment, but in the meantime, when was the last time any of us heard, about the some things that we can fix, the plight of immigrants, but in particular those who have been here, and as you say, Tom Swasey, you know, those who have been contributing to Social Security, many, and we're not ashamed to say this, many of them who came here, and some everybody said, "Ah, don't worry about the Social Security, you'll be all right." Or, you know what you do, you can get a fake one that'll do you. The lunacy of all of this, and the fact that we are distracted daily, and there isn't going to be any end to it anytime soon, while all of these issues become unresolved. You got a middle class that have to worry every time.
The middle class is shrinking in America. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, Adrian, I was going to St. Patrick's Grade School. I went to St. Patrick's Grade School, Chaminade All Boys Catholic High School, Boston College, and Fordham Law School, all Catholic schools. Anyway, I went to St. Patrick's Grade School, and the nuns used to say, one nun in particular said, "You know, technology is moving so fast these days," because of space race and things like that was going on. "Technology is moving so fast, we haven't had a chance to figure out how this will affect us ethically and how this will affect our families and our economy. And it's just moving too quickly." That was the 60s and 70s. Think about how much faster things are moving now. And people are not stopping to take a breath to say, "Listen, we have got to work together. Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives, whatever you want to call yourself, people of goodwill have got to sit down and talk to each other and try and solve these problems we face in our country." I'm the vice chairman of a group in Congress called the Problem Solvers Caucus, 24 Democrats and 24 Republicans trying to talk to each other and have common ground. And we're getting some stuff done, but we have a lot more that needs to get done. And this hateful talk, this anger and fear, much of it coming from the president, is just so incompatible with solving the complex problems that we face in our country. And we need guys like you and people on your team to encourage the politicians, just talk to each other, because the people are so sick of all the yelling and screaming and anger and being against each other. Let's find some common ground and solve some of the problems we do face, because the middle class is shrinking. The sea level is rising. The people are have so much anxiety regarding their health insurance and regarding this immigration stuff. The prescription drugs are too much. We've got so many real problems that we need to fix, and it's not going to be solved by just blaming somebody. You know, the Democrats, we're trying to blame the CEOs in Wall Street, and the Republicans are trying to blame the immigrants and the Muslims. Blame, 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 blame. It's complicated stuff. You're not going to solve it by blaming somebody. You got to sit down and work it out. So.
I couldn't agree more with you. And again, through the decades, Tom, it has always been a pleasure to have you as a guest on this program, and an honor. And we wish you indeed very well. We know that Monday as Veterans Day, so many have served in wartime and peacetime and continue to, serve the United States. It's great. It's a national holiday, and it is a time for all of us to pay tribute to those who are living, those who have already served, and those who continue to serve as veterans, protecting all of us.
What I always say, Adrian, I couldn't agree with you more. What I always say is that, you know, we send people off to foreign lands to risk their lives, and many gave their lives, but risk their lives on behalf of what? democracy and freedom. Now, what is democracy and freedom? Democracy and freedom is really politics and government. Now, if we really want to honor our veterans, and if we want to honor our war dead, we have to lift up the conversation in this country. We cannot treat politics and government like some petty, small, cynical thing where people just badmouth each other at the dinner table or at the cocktail parties or at the family parties, and it all stinks and nobody's any good and nothing gets done. We've got the politicians and the people have to lift up politics and government to be something more noble, a noble ambition to try and make people's lives better. And that's not going to happen unless we that's only going to happen if we start treating the politics with the respect it deserves, because these are life and this is life and death business.
Yeah,
I was on armed services and foreign affairs. Now I'm on ways and means. I went to Afghanistan and I met with the troops and I met with the generals and I met with the diplomats. And I went to South Korea, and I went to Israel, and I went to Kuwait and Jordan and the UAE. And you meet with all these, and you really, this is serious business. This is not petty little talk. Health insurance, that's life and death. Immigration, life and death. Climate change, life and death. Gun violence, life and death. Let's start treating it that way with that respect. That's the way to honor our veterans, is to treat this business of politics with the respect it deserves.
Yeah. I did. That's a fiery Tom Suozzi there. You haven't changed any over the years, Tom, I have to say, you know?
Well, I'm a little grayer.
That's all right. Again, thank you for getting the ball rolling. And, you know, tell my friend Peter King I've taken him off the Christmas card list. That's it. A great combination, and I know, in a bipartisan manner, you and Peter King will get things done. And you know, thanks, Tom, again.
Thanks for having me on.
You're always welcome.
You're a real service to the people. We're so grateful to you for doing the work that you do.
Thank you. Congressman Tom Suozzi, friends, who has taken the bull by the horns, who's actually done something that has not... been managed, and when it's not that well, to get a bill together, crafted by Suozzi, but endorsed and, by Peter King, to get
and 43 other members of Congress. And it's unanimously passed by the House Foreign Affairs Committee. All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Tom. Pleasure there. Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Friends, you are listening to the Flannelly Show live.